Welcome to the On the Gold podcast. Today, 5 and 5 with GPAA State Director Kevin Bell.
Searching for gold dust in the valley of bloodlust. Under the sun, misunderstood.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode of the On the Gold podcast. I am Kevin Hoagland, your host. Kevin Bell is not here today as the co-host. Kevin Bell is actually the 5-on-5 topic of the day.
Hi, Kevin. How you going, Kev?
This is an actual face-to-face almost interview in the studio. What are you doing in Arizona?
Well, we're just out playing. Had my friend Rick's birthday in Vegas. We started in Vegas, came down this way, and heading back up there later in the week and having a little more fun. So it's been a blast so far.
And I got to say thank you for stopping by the store and grabbing some of the things that we're going to need, because I have been cooking a pig since about 5:30 this morning. So we are going to eat well tonight. Yeah. Fired up the smoker this morning, and then we are going after it. So
I got to tell you, if it tastes 1/10 as good as it looks, it's going to be off the hook.
And, you know, I thought my house was pretty well sealed up, but the smoke is still kind of coming in a little bit, and I'm kind of loving it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. So, all right, you are the topic of the 5-on-5, and the main reason for that is that I've had a lot of people saying, who's Kevin? You know, what does Kevin do? And you know, I think about it because you are the GPAA state director, one of the GPA state directors for California.
Mm-hmm.
You've been very, very active in the mining community over the last few years.
Yes.
And you're an inventor.
Yes.
And you don't really have the definition of hydrologist tied to you.
No. And what I did was I actually worked for a municipal utility. So I was we work with electric and water. And I was the guy that pushed the numbers around and monitored all the reports and did all those things. So I was really, that was a day-to-day task for me. So I just actually put that into mining.
So how did you figure out fluid dynamics? I mean, you are a little bit of Kevin's background. Kevin is the gentleman who created Aurora Mining Products,
mm-hmm.
which had two very phenomenal products, which still are out there in the marketplace and still being sold.
Yep.
And one of them was the Recon, which was your first unit that you came out.
Right.
And then the Expedition. And they are exactly as they sound. The Recon was a very small, is a very small portable unit that I love it. That's one of my go-to pieces of equipment when I'm out on a stream or anything. And then the Expedition is what you go mining with. I always say that I use the Recon to go prospecting.
Right.
And then I grab the Expedition to go mining.
Right.
But, all right. So getting back into those lines, there's a lot of people that just consider you the authority on mining fluid dynamics. And I know that you've consulted with a lot of professional miners.
Right.
And some small scale guys as well, helping them get set up. But, you know, I tell you, this is the easiest question in the world for me to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Explain fluid dynamics.
Yeah, and I got to tell you that as I started becoming a miner, and I'll talk a little more about it later, I've been in the industry about 10 years, and I needed to understand.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt you. You've been in the industry for 10 years.
Yes.
You've never run a dredge in the state of California,
never have you? Never run a dredge. Never. You know, and that's, as I've gone through these systems, and we'll talk more about it later, that's the pinnacle, and I've never gotten to the tip of the mountain yet. And I'm looking for either hopefully to do it in California if that comes around, or actually go to a different state. So,
well, if you can ever time yourself to be here for the Arizona 3-day dredging season during the monsoons, I'll break out the 4-inch, I'll break out the 6-inch, whatever we need to do to get you in the water.
Nice.
Because I get the funny feeling you'll be back in the water in California. I mean, we're all pretty well sure of that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's gonna be a little bit more time, and there's going to be a little bit more paperwork involved with it. But when I have water here, we'll put you in the water here.
I'm in. All right.
So, you know, I'm sorry. Your topic.
And I got to tell you, when I started through this process, I needed to understand how water flows, you know, the height and speed, affect material separation. And that was always my goal, being the numbers guy, is getting that maximum extraction in, you know, into play. You know, that material separation, the height and speed of water is just critical. And I went through that process and understood that thoroughly. And that's the knowledge or that base that I use to create what we call fluid dynamics, or that fluidized method to recover gold. And that's ultimately what went into my patent. So I actually patented the fluid dynamics process. And then I also patented the sluice, the actual system. So I actually have two patents. So,
well, as long as I've known you, I didn't realize that you had patented, that you had two patents. I thought you had the patent on the fluid dynamics because of some other things that had happened that you and I had long conversations on.
Yeah.
So, but you did patent the sluice as well.
Yes, both the ideology or the methodology and the system. So, and you know, the biggest thing about it is, in such a small system, it combines high speed processing with a high percentage of recovery, and that's really the nuts and bolts of fluid dynamics.
Okay. Now, the one thing that you said a while back that really kind of just threw me for a loop, and it was simple, because we were talking about the steps, mm-hmm. and you were having a conversation with one of the manufacturers and talking about the steps necessary and so on like that. And you had it down to how many?
Well, we started out, it's a very, very complex calculation. And the person was saying that, you know, that's, you know, like a 9-level calculation. And I said, no, it's actually 6, because I keep speed a constant.
And see, that was something that when you said that, it was like, oh, yeah, speed is a constant.
Yeah. And once you make speed the constant, and I always tell people that, you know, when we went to the gold shows, 1 second per foot, I made sure to let everybody know that once you keep speed a constant, fluid dynamics is possible.
Right. And now, so, when you say that, when you say, and just so everybody understands, when you say that water is the constant and you need 1 foot per second
of speed, yes.
Of speed. So what you have got to do is, if you're running just a sluice box,
right,
you've got to either slow down,
right,
or speed up to where you have that 1 foot per second.
Exactly.
And once that is done, and once you're at that 1 foot per second,
yes,
it's almost fail proof.
Right. It's, yes. Once, that's what the system did. Once you hit that speed, the efficiency goes up to create the separation in the system.
Okay. So 1 foot per second.
1 foot per second.
And is that only then, and I already know the answer to this one, but is that only applicable to your product?
No.
It's all the way across the board. It doesn't matter what you're running. You're looking at running 1 foot per second.
Right.
All right. So I'm out on the stream. I've got my 36-inch sluice box.
Right.
What do I do to easily measure 1 foot per second?
Okay. Well, what you do is you figure about a third of the box. What I always do is I drop material and take a handful of material and drop it and count 1,001. If it's gone down a third of the box, you're good. You can count, you know, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, and it's out of the box either way.
So what you are talking about, so everybody understands, you're not talking about taking a leaf and throwing it on top of the water and watching the leaf go 1 foot per second. You are talking about the flow rate of the material from the time that it enters into the header of the box,
right,
that the majority of the material has moved 1 foot
in a second.
In 1 second.
And it's material size dependent. Remember, you need more water speed the bigger the material, and the finer material, you need to slow it down.
Right. So if I'm running half-inch material, then I'm going to have to increase my water speed to be able to have that 1 foot per second.
Right.
And if I'm running 3/8 material, I'm going to have to slow that water down.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, and that is a proven, I mean, that is, speed is the constant. And when you said that, and when we started talking about that, it was like, wow, that just made so much sense because, you know, we always talk about making all these different changes in a sluice box by changing the angle, right, doing this, doing that, and then you run the material, and then you just kind of look at it from this aspect and go, okay, I've got material here that looks like it's capturing all of this, and I've got this, and I've got that. And quite frankly, I never thought about making speed the constant. Right. It's just one of those things where it was like, oh, yeah, how simple is that? I drop material in. 1 second later, the majority of that material should be 1 foot away.
Right.
And I'm done. Or I'm sorry. So brilliant. I mean, and you patented that.
Right. Yeah. And you can apply it to anything. It doesn't matter whether it's a sluice box, a high banker, or even a dredge, even though I haven't dredged, as I said before. Right. The same system can be applied.
And that's where I was going to go with that is it doesn't matter what you're doing. I can use a recon at, what's the total length of the recon?
18 inches.
So I can take a recon.
Yep.
Or I can take the little easy sluice.
Sure.
Those little things like that, as long as I've got that material. And then I take that and I can go all the way up to a 20-foot sluice box or a long tom at that point. As long as that is the constant. Now, let's introduce pressure because you have never dredged.
Right.
So, you know, we've got open water and then we've got a closed system.
Open system, closed system.
Right. Open system, closed system. Open system, everything running down the stream.
Right.
A closed system is when you're forcing water in, you're doing this and you're doing that.
Right.
And when you're running forced water into the system.
Right.
Okay.
So remember, I'll just make this an easy answer. Whether you're using pressure or just input, right, from a sluice or pressure from a high banker or a dredge, remember the pressure is creating the flow and the volume, the volume and the flow.
Right.
And so it creates the speed for you, and then what you're doing is you're dropping the system down to either increase or reduce that. But the pressure is creating the movement through the sluice.
Okay. Now, where your argument's going to come from a lot of people on this one, mm-hmm, is that I've got my 4-inch dredge.
Sure.
And I'm at my maximum length of my suction hose.
Uh-huh.
And I've got my motor turned up because I'm, you know, I'm 6 feet down. So I've got...
Right.
I've got a 12-foot hose with six, and I'm 6 feet down. So, you know, you do the lift calculations and so on like that. You have a lot of energy,
right,
going into that box because you're having to use more energy to bring that material up. So, how do I calculate that 1 foot per second when it comes into the box? Because I have to have a higher pressure to bring that material up through the dredge nozzle.
Right. And I've got to tell you, we actually did a custom job for a customer who had a 6-inch dredge. And you have to say, how do you get 56,000 gallons an hour down to 1 foot per second? And what we did is we actually created a separation system and a damper system that allowed the bulk of the water and large cobble to go in and just go up and over and out of the system. And the actual flow that went through the baffle came out at 1 foot per second.
How do I adopt that to a 4-inch dredge?
Same thing. I actually created a mathematical calculation that I can take any size system and, you know, square inches or square foot of system and gallons per minute, and calc that out for you.
And so you're telling me that I need to build a baffle in my 4-inch dredge?
Yes. we actually, and I have to tell you that the guy that called me, he said, you promised not to laugh. And he said, I want a 6-inch dredge to catch, you know, 100 minus gold and even 200 mesh if I could do it. And I said, sure, we could do it.
Right.
And because it goes down to the 1 foot
per second.
Right. And once you take it down to there, separation is easy.
And I think this is, if somebody were to take the time, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to take my 4-inch dredge and we're going to do the conversion. We're going to put the baffle in. We're going to get it down to where it's running that. the idea of what I'm going to recover over what I've been recovering. And it doesn't matter what if I have carpet or if I've got matting or, sure, you know, whatever it is.
The recovery system is not the that matting, you know, the carpet, the riff. That's not so much the process. It's the flow rate and getting the material in a manner that it can drop.
Okay. Now you work with, and you're actually working on a couple of projects where you're designing, I guess the easiest way to say it is a riffle system. And I don't think that's really the right way to say it, but, and I don't want you to say anything about it because I know you're really
And actually, but, you know, we can talk about that. We can kind of move past it a little bit, maybe till later on in the show. I think that may be better at a better time, because fluid dynamics, you know, talking about the dynamics, that's a different system.
Right.
So okay. We might want to separate that out.
Okay.
But I know I do want to talk about it.
Yeah, but I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole because I'm afraid you'll say something that you probably shouldn't at this point, because I know you're going after some more patents and you're doing some other things. So
yeah, we'll be doing some more patents.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let's hold off of that and just wait till you have it patented and you have that product ready.
Yeah.
And let's just do an entire podcast on that one.
Well, the interesting thing I would like to tell you, I would like to tell people a little bit about the process in a way that isn't as groundbreaking, if you will, as fluid dynamics.
Really? So you're new?
Yes.
10 years is fairly new.
Yes.
And in the last 10 years, I mean, I've sent you out on some, as a state director, I've sent you out on a couple of quests.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate the fact that you did it. And more importantly, I think the GPA members will appreciate the fact that you've done some of these quests because you've gone out and you've looked at areas and you were able to be successful in finding gold where others weren't.
Uh-huh.
So what is, it's not a secret. I mean, we know that, we all know that we work with our tools and then we always get new tools in the toolbox. But in the last 10 years, I tell you what, not over the last 10 years, but in the last few years that you've been a California state director, tell me what you've done to improve what you do.
Right. You know, and I got to tell you, the biggest thing for me is doing the research, you know, and actually, you know, I'm up in the mother lode, you know, in northern mother lode. And so I did first a lot of research to say, what's going on with these areas? You know, how do I understand these areas first and then develop the skills necessary to actually process gold? And that's where I spent a lot of that time, a lot of those initial years. You know, I was going through that process. And of course, ultimately, part of that process was, you know, creating fluid dynamics.
Right.
But, you know, I began learning the process of gold extraction. And I think that that's where, if you're a new person or even a new miner or a miner been doing it for years, the closer you get to that pinnacle to understand the processing of gold, the better miner you're going to be. And I've really never stopped learning.
Yeah, and that was something very, very important. And we also, when Chris was on, mm-hmm. on one of the many podcasts that Chris Ralph will be doing with us, we talked about research, and that was one of the things that
huge.
I think that was the point where Chris and I both heard you rustling paper.
Oh,
as you were taking notes,
scribbling as fast as I could.
Scribbling as fast as you could.
Yeah,
and. I left all of that in. It was great sound. I mean, it was.
Yeah, you know, and the funniest thing is as you learn to be a better miner, as you learn better skills, and you start understanding how that affects the areas, you then get to apply that to other areas as well, right?
Right.
You know. Build that level of knowledge.
Yeah, it is. It's all tools in the toolbox, man.
Right. That's a better way to say it. Tools in the toolbox.
It's all tools in the toolbox. And you can't walk out there with a half-inch wrench and expect to be able to fix everything. It's all the tools in the toolbox that make you successful.
Right. And developing that process that you can apply over and over.
Right. So when you start thinking about your depth of knowledge, and I actually almost hate that term.
Right.
I really do. But it is, yeah. it is what it is.
Yeah.
The depth of knowledge. And you think about the things that you've done over the years and the processes that you've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anybody just starting, what's the recommendation that you make from, and at 10 years, I call you still kind of call you green
because newbie.
You've done real well.
Sure.
You've done exceptionally well and you've recovered gold it's, you don't know what you don't know. And you're in there recovering gold in areas where people have never seen that size of gold.
Right.
And I mean, you're working a spot, I won't say what river it is on right now, but you and a friend of yours are going out there. It's your, what, Thursday day trip?
Yep, it's a Thursday day. I try to go at least once a week.
Yeah, the Thursday trip, and you are out there, and you always come home with a couple of grams of 200 minus.
Yep, mostly 100 minus with 200 minus. We even catch 300 mesh. So it's tough to get down to that level and to do it in quantity. That's the key.
Right. But a lot of people just don't even see that because they're not running one.
Well, and again, you know, recovery systems vary and they're all capable of recovering some level of that gold. It's using that depth of knowledge that you have, that as you called it, what I'll call it is the street smarts or the mining smarts.
Right.
As a baseline. And you have to, as you increase your knowledge, your baseline grows. And you have to, as you go through that processing for the day, you have to determine what went right and what went wrong.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and
that's, you know what? That right there is a major key.
Yeah.
A lot of people I've known over the years, they'll go out, they'll have a really crappy day working in the same area that they've worked before.
Yeah.
And it's not a matter of, at the end of the day, saying, okay, what was it that was the right? What did I do that was absolutely perfectly right? And what did I do that may have not been right that caused me not to have a quarter ounce day or a half ounce day or whatever.
Right.
And it's at the end of the day when I'm out detecting, if I have a skunk day, I can't just say it's because I didn't swing over anything. I have to figure out what I did wrong.
Right.
That I'm sure that I did swing over something because there's been many of times I've been skunked, come back out the next day or a week later, went right back to the same spot and I found gold. Now I can say a lot of things about atmosphere. I can talk about moisture in the ground. You know, there are a lot of factors, especially like one of my places where I love to hunt. If the pilots from Luke Air Force Base are doing any training in the jets, I might as well wipe it out for the entire day because I receive an incredible amount of interference from them that I'll never hear.
Right.
So I don't know what I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, and the big thing too is knowing where to swing is as important as knowing how to swing, right?
Absolutely.
And looking at the place when you pick, especially in a new location, applying those skills. Where have you found gold before?
Right.
And you got to go with what you know.
Sure.
You know, and that's the thing, matching those things. And again, going back, what did I do right? What did I do wrong?
Right. But even, you know, I always talk about, always look at the similarities. No, don't always look at the differences. Look at the similarities.
Yes.
But then take a look at the differences and figure out, you know, was it the differences that actually got me off the gold in this particular area? And now I have to figure out what those differences are.
Right. And what you're now saying too, and this is one of the things I really focus on, learn how to fix the problems.
Right.
That's the big key.
Right.
So once you've determined where you failed, fix the problems. And that's hard because we all have a metal detector or maybe two, or we use a couple of sluices, and you say, well, how do I fix that problem? I have a limited amount of resource.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just changing just something as simple as classification.
Right.
You bring what you bring to the dance. Once you're there, you got to dance.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed over the years, and I've even been guilty of this as well, if you're working in an area and you start getting particular gold, or you're doing this or you're doing that, and maybe the water flow is a little bit, you know, a little bit higher or mm-hmm. a little bit faster because now you're in the middle of the storm, whatever. A lot of people will put their 36-inch sluice down and grab their 72-inch sluice.
Sure.
Because they're going to capture more gold. But if you use, I love going back to the constant, because mm-hmm. to be able to patent that says a lot, not just about you, but also a major lesson in recovery. So I take this, and if I've got a 36-inch sluice, and I'm not recovering real well because the water is really heavy, and you know I can only slow it down so much.
Right.
And then I put a 6-foot sluice in. Yeah, of course I'm going to capture a little bit more because sure. I've got more surface.
More tries.
But if I'm running it properly and I'm at that 1 foot per second.
That 1 second per foot.
I can go back in there with a little 18-inch sluice and do.
And do just as well.
And do just, well, actually do better.
Yeah.
Because I've settled that constant. And that's, if nothing else, I mean, this has been about getting to know you. I've tossed some things in, done some other, you know, sure. gone some different directions with it. But I think the simple fact, and one of the things that is the highlight, is that you patented the idea of fluid dynamics,
mm-hmm.
of breaking that down to the very simplistic truth
mm-hmm.
and a constant
right.
that is 1 foot per second.
Right. When you put it down to that simplicity, the more things you can take out, the more variables, where you have, you know, less things that can affect your recovery, the better off you're going to be. So having that 1 second per foot is a constant that makes for the best chance of recovery.
Okay. Any way to argue that?
Well, I have not yet, and I've been working with groups from one-on-one miners up to mining companies that are doing load mining, that we apply these processes, and we'll talk more about this later too. But the when we do mining companies that have load mines, and they're actually trying to recover this, they recover the bigger gold, and they're basically just flushing the fine gold out because they just don't really have a way to recover it. By applying that system and that 1 second per foot and apply a good recovery system, the recovery that they're getting on their fine gold is significant enough to change the bottom line.
Right.
It's not just you're getting a gram or two. It's significant enough to change the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's key.
And that is key. That is key. Well, the 5-on-5 has now gone 32 minutes.
Wow.
We're way over. And I think I just want to leave it with that one. And leaving it there, I did. Inadvertently hit the stop record button as we were ending the show. But I promise you, I will sit down with Kevin again, and we will discuss a little bit more about fluid dynamics. So until the next time, be good to yourself, be good to others, and get out and go prospecting.